Thank you for standing by. This is the conference operator. Welcome to GoodLife Network's second quarter 2018 conference call for investors and analysts. Today's call is being led by Mr. Jesse Dillon, Chief Executive Officer for GoodLife Networks, and Constantine Lichtenvald, Chief Financial Officer for GoodLife Networks. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode, and the conference is being recorded. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity for analysts to ask questions. To join the question queue, analysts may press star then one on their telephone keypad. Should you need assistance during the conference call, you may signal an operator by pressing star and zero. With that, I would like to hand the call over to Jesse Dillon, Chief Executive Officer.
Thank you, Ariel. Hello, and welcome to GoodLife Networks' second quarter fiscal 2018 earnings conference call. On the first part of the call today, I will provide insights into the company's operating performance for the second quarter of 2018, along with an outline of our key performance indicators for the quarter versus the previous second quarter of 2017. In addition, I will provide some more insights into the ImpressionX acquisition. After that, Constantine will review our financial performance for the quarter. I will close GLN commentary by discussing our outlook, followed by a Q&A session, which will be initiated by the operator. First, a couple of quick notes. Today's call is being recorded and will be available on our website in just a few days, and that's at glninc.ca. We also want to remind you that our remarks today will include forward-looking statements that are subject to important risks and uncertainties. For more information on these risks and uncertainties, please see the second quarter 2018 MD&A filed by GoodLife Networks. It's on our website and on SEDAR. From time to time during our remarks on the call today, we will refer to GoodLife Networks as GLN and/or GOOD, which of course is our trading symbol on TSXV. I would like to commence the call by reminding everyone what GoodLife Networks does and provide an overview of our performance for the quarter ending June 30th, 2018. GoodLife Networks is the fastest programmatic advertising exchange for video in the world today. We have the proven ability to place a targeted advertisement three times faster than the IAB, Interactive Advertising Bureau standards. As a result, our growth remains exceptional, our reach has become global, and our outlook continues to be excellent. We remain focused on leveraging our technical advantages and our public market position to become a prominent streaming advertising vendor via organic revenue growth and through strategic acquisitions. Earlier this year, we announced a binding letter of intent to acquire ImpressionX, a connected television advertising platform. Total consideration for the acquisition could be as high as $4.5 million, conditional upon the management team attaining specific key performance indicators over the next 2 years. We have agreed to extend the deadline and expect to sign the definitive agreement very soon. Counsel to GLN and counsel to ImpressionX have spoken and are in conceptual agreement as to the structure of the transaction and the definitive agreement. Both sets of counsel are working diligently to finalize the definitive agreement so that the transaction can be finalized and closed. GoodLife will pay $500,000 out of treasury for the business. Once integrated, we anticipate that the entity should contribute meaningfully to revenue on a go-forward basis. Our pipeline of strategic acquisitions remains solid, and we hope to make further progress in the pipeline this year. As we grow, we plan to operate GoodLife with low overhead costs. To grow our revenue while protecting and growing our margins, we avoid the direct sales team's approach and instead focus on developing partnerships and connecting to our revenue streams via direct technical integrations. On this call today, I will provide more detailed commentary about integrations and what they may mean for our performance. We believe that our low overhead strategy allows us to be profitable in market situations where margins are compressing or where volumes fluctuate. GoodLife has chosen to focus on streaming media for our programmatic advertising exchange because frankly, we believe that it is the future of digital advertising. By 2020, 50% of all advertising will be digital, and streaming media is the gold standard. We are on the forefront of that trend, a trend that includes all formats, on all form factors, including mobile, desktop, television, and any other device that may have a viewing screen and a speaker. We have the technology to do that. For Q2 2018, Good generated $3.4 million of revenue, a 123% improvement over the same quarter in the previous year. Revenue for the first 6 months of fiscal 2018 increased by 197% to $4.8 million, compared to $1.6 million during the first 6 months of fiscal 2017. We are on track to meet our organic revenue objectives for the year. Additionally, by posting $307,000 of adjusted EBITDA, I'm proud to report that we're essentially break-even for fiscal 2018, 2 quarters ahead of last year. During Q2 2018, Good completed 11 net new integrations, of which one was announced via press release. The announced integration was our most significant to date because we are now connected to a top five publisher owned by a major U.S.-based telco. Exiting Q2 2018, we were operating with a base of 35 integrations, and we have 12 integrations remaining over the next 6 months to attain our goal of exiting fiscal year 2018 with 47 integrations. During Q2 2018, we placed 257 million adverts, which is 188% increase over the 89 million adverts during Q2 2017. Sequentially, during Q2 2018, Good placed 147% more ads than the 104 million placed during Q1 2018. Gross margins for Q2 2018 were 46.3%, ahead of the high end of our expectations of annual gross margin range of between 25 and 30%. Better than the gross margins of 34% reported during Q1 2018, and an improvement over gross margins of 38.4% reported for Q2 2017. Our gross margin continues to perform ahead of expectations due to the positive impact of our placement algorithm. I'm now going to turn the call over to Good Life Network CFO, Constantine Lichtenvall, to discuss in detail our financial results, including the one-time expense items related to our go-public transaction. Constantine, please take it away.
Thanks, Jesse, and good afternoon, everyone. Good Life Network's Q2 2018 performance reflects the benefit of completing 24 previous integrations. As a result, and as Jesse mentioned previously, revenue was reported at $3.44 million for Q2 2018, and an increase of 123% increase over $1.54 million reported during the same quarter of 2017. For the first 6 months of 2018, revenue was $4.76 million, a 197% increase over $1.6 million reported for the same 6 month period during fiscal year 2017. Gross margin for Q2 2018 are calculated at 46.3%, which is above the high end of our expectation, and higher than the gross margins of 38.4% reported during Q2 2017. Sequentially, gross margin increased to 46.3% from 34% reported in Q1 2018. The gross margin continues to be positively impacted by algorithm performance, high demand of targeted placement, and ad mix. Adjusting for share-based compensations, earnings before interest, taxes, amortization, and depreciation, otherwise known as EBITDA, for Q2 2018 was $0.31 million in comparison to a loss of $0.16 million for Q2 2017. For the first 6 months of fiscal year 2018, the adjusted EBITDA loss for GoodLife was $60,000 in comparison to an adjusted EBITDA loss of $800,000 reported for the first month of fiscal year 2017. We consider the operations to be break-even for the year as of end Q2 2018. Adjusted for foreign exchange and debt forgiveness, the net income for that period was $0.25 million or $0.005 per common share based upon a basic share count of 76.4 million shares. For the first 6 months of 2018, comprehensive loss was $0.01 per share, So comparison of 0.04 loss per share for the same period during fiscal year 2017 based on a basic share count of 26.1 million shares. Excluding non-cash items and interest expenses, total operating expenses for the quarter were 1.3 million, a 40% increase over 0.8 million reported for Q1 2018. The increase in expenses is related to increased headcount, public market expenses, and one-time expenses related to IP and our acquisition activities. Going forward, and excluding non-cash items, the natural base of operational expenses should be approximately 0.9 million to 1 million per quarter. This is higher than the range of between 0.7 million to 0.8 million that we disclosed last quarter, because we have now a better visibility of the costs associated with being a public issuer. Based on the first 6 months, performance for good is well positioned, and we are on target to meet our 2018 objectives, which implies significant growth in both revenue and earnings over those reported for financial year 2017. We are well capitalized for organic growth and are pleased with the financial progress made to date. As at the end of Q2 2018, the company had 1.5 million of cash and 6.7 million of receivables for a total of 8.2 million cash and liquid assets. We continue to collect receipts successfully and there is no foreseen bad debt. Please refer to our SEDAR filings for details related to our RTO as well as our current capitalization table. Jesse?
Thank you, Constantine, and good job. We would like to give investors further update on key performance indicators. Scalability. We increased our transactional capacity in Q2 2018 to 110,000 transactions per second, which is an improvement over Q2 2017 of 50,000 transactions per second. Our non-identifiable profile database increased to 563 million records, a 9% increase over 518 million records stored in Q1 of 2018, and a 67% increase over 338 million records retained in Q2 2017. We anticipate that by the end of 2018, we will have between 600 and 750 million records, approximately. Speed. The average speed of transaction was approximately 200 milliseconds from end to end, with average decisioning speed of approximately 10 milliseconds. As our machine learning algorithms mature, we anticipate that we can maintain or even improve upon transaction speed as our volumes increase over time. Brand safety. During the quarter, our platform rejected 22% of total transaction volume due to inappropriate content and or undesirable publishers. As we scale globally and our algorithms mature, we anticipate that this rejection rate should naturally increase. During Q1 2017, our rejection rate was 13%. Blockchain. We continue to aggressively develop and refine our AR, accounts receivable, blockchain strategy. We're in discussions with numerous leading exchanges about integrating our blockchain AR solution directly into highly liquid exchanges. Progress on all fronts has been very good, and we remain fully committed to this very exciting and potentially very lucrative opportunity. Headcount. During Q2 2018, we added two heads, with the acquisition of ImpressionX, we anticipate that our headcount will increase by two again. In addition, we moved into new offices, which better accommodate staff and business development. Although we do not provide official guidance, we can offer some commentary on our outlook and expectations. Integrations. First, as it relates to our growth strategy, you can mark our progress by way of announced integrations. We plan to execute about 30 integrations during 2018, but will only generally announce those that are deemed to be meaningful to revenue growth. We have approximately 12 integrations remaining for the year after executing 18 integrations during the first half of 2018. If we announce integrations, they will generally be for those that add over $50,000 per month in additional normalized revenue. This means that there may be fluctuations in monthly revenue, but the aggregate annual value should calculate to the monthly rate. During Q1, we announced two integrations, and in Q3, we announced one more. Impression X should be integrated within weeks of closing our acquisition. Financial performance. We believe that the base revenue generated during Q2 and the strong gross margins are solid evidence that we're on track to meet full-year revenue and earnings objectives that management has set. We anticipate that revenue performance should follow typical trends, with most of 2018 revenue generated in Q4. Although we still expect that for the remainder of 2018, gross margin should range between 25 and 30%, the strong margin performance for the last two quarters may represent an opportunity to change our views if Q3 2018 margins are again reported higher than our expectations. As Constantine explained earlier, the base operating expense range should be between $0.9 million and $1 million for the remainder of this year. We added two headcount during Q2 2018, and we anticipate spending about $100,000 per quarter on general issuer costs, such as audit, legal, and IR. We anticipate that overall headcount should increase organically as we add more channel managers, we execute more R&D on the platform, and we integrate more partners. We anticipate that the headcount will also increase as we complete acquisitions and integrate the operations into ours. Fundamentally, expenses will increase, but we expect them to increase at a rate slower than revenue scales. On behalf of Constantine, myself, and the entire team at Good Life Networks, we would like to thank shareholders and investors for their continued support. We have never been more excited and more confident about the future of good. Ariel, we're ready to take questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Analysts who wish to join the question queue may press star, then one on their telephone keypad. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing any keys. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. We will pause for a moment as callers join the queue. Our first question comes from Edson Lai of GMP Securities.
Hi. Good afternoon, guys. Thanks for taking my question.
Edson, welcome to the call. Where are you calling from today?
Toronto.
Good. How's the weather?
Yeah. It's not bad. It's really nice here.
We've got half of British Columbia on fire today. We've got a severe pollution here in BC today. Nice to have you on the line, Edson from Toronto. Go ahead with your question.
Yeah. So the first question is related to the major integration you announced in July with the Fortune 500 telco. I was wondering if you could provide any updates with it. Is it fully completed and up and running? And could this major integration be used for as a reference customer going forward?
Yeah, those are two great questions. So number one, yes, it's fully integrated, up and running. We're making money with that client. Two, I'd love to tell you the name. We can't. We're under NDA. Until the telco approves us announcing the name, we can't. But moving forward as a reference point, absolutely. It's interesting. We're in discussions with other large telco and media companies. We've gained some visibility in this area early on as a young company. And I think, you know, from a purely blue sky perspective, you can anticipate that we will be moving into more discussions and hopefully have some announcements in these areas in the very near term. I'm hoping to get an additional announcement out sometime this fall. Does that help answer your question?
Yeah, for sure. That helps for sure. I guess jumping ship to the Connected TV and the Impression X acquisition, I was wondering if you could provide some insights into the industry itself in terms of what you're seeing in terms of a pipeline and who the customers you're talking to. Are they mostly TV service providers or OTT box manufacturers?
Yeah, so again, another great question. I'm going to ask my VP of technology to unmute his call and to be brief with his answer. But connected television is a space we want to move into, Edson. It's very lucrative. You know, I mean, it's trending. Let's face it, people are unplugging from cable, or millennials of Generation Z are just not going there in the first place. And if your revenues are tied to cable, it can be somewhat problematic. So as people unplug or don't go to cable, we are able to show them a video ad. We've been dealing with a company out of Southern California. We've had their eye on them for some time. We announced it as an LOI, that is Impression X. I believe that we're very close to announcing a definitive agreement, as I mentioned earlier on the call today. This would be our foray into connected television. In terms of the type of clients and, you know, kind of an inside view into connected TV, I'll ask Chris to keep his answers brief, but to please identify and help answer that question from a technical perspective. Chris.
Hi there. Yes. So it's devices like Roku, some Apple TV, those kind of devices are where the users are. You know, there's literally dozens of these devices out there in various states of development and lockdown. And yeah, exactly that, you know, where these have applications on those devices, they call us, and through the connected television, we get them an advert and place the advert for a fee. So that's basically how it works. It's technically very similar to in-app mobile, if you're familiar with that. A lot of similarities, just obviously a different route to the user's eyes.
Does that give you the visibility you were looking for with respect to your question?
Yeah, it's perfect. Thanks, Chris.
Edson, anything else?
No problem.
I just wanted to pick your brain about the recent consolidation in the ecosystem. We've seen AT&T buy AppNexus in June. Also, I think Vista Equity Partners buying a major stake in Integral Ad Science. So do you see this as an opportunity or a challenge for GLN going forward with a lot of consolidation?
Well, first of all, you've identified something that some of our listeners on today's call may not be aware of. The industry is very ripe for consolidation. We saw that, you know, when we studied this and did our major pivot into advertising technology a few years ago, we saw that consolidation would be a thing of the future. We believe that if you are not a technology company from the very beginning, i.e. we are an exchange, not a DSP, not an SSP, we are the exchange that sits in the middle. We believe that if you were not the exchange, you would suffer issues moving forward in this industry. We've seen Facebook, Google, Comcast, AT&T, as you mentioned, buying AppNexus for $1.6 billion U.S. a couple weeks ago. We see the exchanges, and they're not many, getting bought. The reason exchanges are getting bought is because they're really hard to build. They're near impossible if you don't have the kind of tenure and you're not one of the seasoned, you know, founding engineers of the industry like Chris is. So we absolutely see it as an opportunity. You know, we see it, you know, as you know, the world is growing and telcos are coming in and people are leaving television and digital is growing faster than anybody anticipated it would be. We see where we're positioned. Not only are we growing organically with our day-to-day revenue and our yearly revenue year over year, but we see some large leapfrog exponential steps that we can take by aligning ourselves with the kind of integrations we did with the kind of telco we did in the last quarter. We see a lot of that coming down the pipe. We do not see that as a negative. We have seen other advertising technology companies try and acquire tech engines and bolt on TV. And frankly, you can look around you and see that it hasn't worked for some because it's difficult to do. We have not made those mistakes. We've been calm, cool, collected, and slow, but very carefully have built an exchange that we think can be a game changer. And we think we're entering a world of very large opportunities for good in this arena.
Perfect. That's super helpful. That's it for me. I'll pass the line.
Thanks so much for calling. Operator, we're ready for our next guest.
Certainly. Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one. Our next question comes from Brad Alex of Vera Growth Capital.
There's a familiar sounding voice and name. Brad, how are you?
I'm doing good, Jesse. How are you? Is your day to go on?
So far, so good, Brad.
Excellent. Thank you. I just have one quick question. In the financials, there's a disclosure with regards to deposit in relation to building a platform for mobile devices. That deposit appears to be quite an extraordinary size of $2.6 million. And maybe you can give a little color on that or have Chris explain a little bit of the design with regards to the mobile devices.
Yeah, that's a great question, Brad, and we feel that's an extraordinary opportunity. Chris, would you please answer Mr. Ehrlich's question?
Yeah, sure. Hi, Brad. Chris. So that project, a really important project for us. I think we touched on it a bit in the last conference call, where it puts GLN's technology inside of high-quality content apps that are actually baked into the operating system on mobile handsets at shipping. The reason this is so important, Brad, is one of our kind of strategies is to build walled gardens. You hear people talk about Facebook as a walled garden, Google as a walled garden. We are very keen to take what we have and place it into walled gardens. So if you think you've got a mobile handset, it's got an app on it that plays, let's say, for example, video by Disney, and we're baked into that. We are the technology that you have to use in order to monetize those eyeballs, those users. So basically, if you want access to those eyeballs, you've got to come to me. So that's a kind of walled garden approach. And what we're very keen to do is build that model out. And this is the first step. What you're seeing here is really going in at the ground level, baked into the application, building the walled garden. The advertisers will need to come to us to get these eyeballs. They're not available to anyone else. And you can see how incredibly valuable that makes GLN as a company, not just on a revenue, but in terms of people who want access to those users. And we have several other things in the pipeline, much earlier stage, that develop that model. So what that will do is it will show two things. Firstly, when this becomes public, and we have to be careful because the company who's doing it want first announcement on it. So, you know, we're the tech engine, we're not the you know, what they're doing. So we have to be a bit careful. But basically, in stage one, we get, you know, we prove our technology, we prove the people we're working with, they love it. So we see that. But step two, we prove the walled garden model. And then as we announce more walled gardens, the value to shareholders will grow dramatically. So you're right, it's a big investment. You know, we've took a bit of our raise that we went public with and really went to town on building something that will be materially significant and will change really the way this whole system works. And so we've put a bit of our money into that. And we're really excited. That's planned end of Q1 2019. So we're building the business organically. We're doing the acquisitions, all that side of it. And then, you know, we add this on in early, late 20, Q1 2019. And we,
Brad,
you know, you'll, at that point, you'll see it.
Brad, does that help you understand?
Great. Thanks, Chris. Just one follow-up question. Is that work being led in the European community, or do you have affiliates working with you in North America?
North America primarily, but the project ultimately in stage two has the option but not the obligation to Europe. My expectation and hope is we take up that option, but that will be for a future discussion.
Right. Good. Thanks, guys. Back to you.
Thanks, Brad. Thank you very much for joining us today. Operator, I think that is the end of our phone call. If you would like to cleanse the queue and say goodnight, I think we can wrap it up here.
Thank you. This concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating and have a pleasant day.